God loves to give us good gifts. Like a loving parent, He knows what we need, and God takes pleasure in meeting those needs and providing for us day after day. Sadly, many of God's gifts, I think, go unappreciated by us or unnoticed, or we take for granted all the things that He gives us. Sometimes we don't receive God's gifts the way we should, which reminds me of a story before we get to the Bible story today. Reminds me of another story that may or may not be true. I'm not going to make any promises. But it's about a woman who had three sons who were all grown up and successful, each in their own ways. But each of the sons were too busy to visit their mom on her 80th birthday, if you can imagine that. And so each of the sons decided they would send their mom an expensive gift to celebrate her birthday. And the sons were bragging to each other about the gifts that they had given, each thinking their gift was the best. The oldest son told his brothers, "Well, I built mom a cottage overlooking a beautiful lake where she can go and spend her summers." And then the next son said, "Yeah, well, I am sending mom a Mercedes to replace that old beat-up car that she drives." And then the youngest son, he said, "Well, I found mom the best present. You know how mom loves to read the Bible, but her eyesight is failing. So I trained a parrot to recite the entire New Testament. You can give this parrot any chapter and verse, and the bird will recite it word for word." And so the mom's birthday came and went, and she sent thank you notes to each of her children. To the oldest son, she wrote, "Thank you for the cottage, but I'm getting too old to drive all the way up to the lake." And then to her next son, she wrote, "Thank you for the car, but I'm thinking of giving up my license." And then to her youngest son, she wrote, "You've always been my favorite child. Thank you for the little green chicken. It was delicious." Hopefully we are better at receiving God's gifts than that. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be reading stories of the Israelites' exodus. And if you're doing the immerse readings, that's kind of where we are in our reading plan, in the middle of the book of Exodus. And so we're going to read some stories about the Israelites' time of wandering in the wilderness and how God led them and provided for them, and even how they had some conflicts and difficulties in their relationship with God. But this morning we're going to read an account of God's miraculous provision for His people. And we're going to think about how God also meets our needs and how we can receive the gifts that He gives us. So we're in Exodus chapter 16. And I'll read this in bits and pieces, but we're going to start with verses 1 through 4. "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions.'" God knew that the Israelites needed food. God noticed that. They had left their homes behind in Egypt, went out into the wilderness. It had now been several weeks since they left. And so God, knowing that they were hungry, agreed to provide them food. And not only did He provide them food, but miraculously He gave them food day after day, as it turned out, for 40 years. This was one of Jesus' favorite stories from what we call the Old Testament, what He would have just called Scripture. Jesus referred to this story time after time. In fact, he called himself the bread of life, referring to this story. You remember when he gave his disciples the prayer that we now know as the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Again, an allusion back to this provision of God for his people in the wilderness. Jesus understood that this story of how God gave the people bread day after day was a powerful symbol of God's love. That God knows what we need. And he provides what we need if we are willing to trust in him. And so the first lesson for us in this story is that God wants us to trust him daily. God wants us to trust him every day. You will never live a day in your life when you don't need God. That doesn't mean that you will always remember God every day. But you will never live a day when you don't need him. So do you trust God for every little thing that you need? Do you receive what God gives you today, trusting that he will also provide for what you need tomorrow? That's not easy for us. Now, for most of us living in our comfortable lives today, it's hard for us to see how God meets our daily needs. And I understand that. We have so much. We take what we have for granted because we have so much. Most of us could go home right now and open up your refrigerator, open up your freezer, open up your pantry, and you could probably live just fine for a week, 2 weeks. Depends on how big your freezer is. It's easy for us to forget that God provided it all in the first place because we have so much. And of course, we need God for more than just our food. He also protects us day by day in a dangerous world, an unpredictable world. You don't know what you'll face tomorrow, but God will be there with you to protect and provide. God gives strength to our bodies. He gives us good health. He surrounds us with family and friends and a church, people who love us, because God knows we need people around us who can care for us and love us. God also calls us to serve him. He gives us a purpose in life. He gives us a reason to get up every day. Again, whether we recognize that or not, God provides for us. Now, before we read a little more of the story, I don't want you to miss verse 4. It says, "I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." Will the Israelites follow what God ask them to do? And maybe the more important question for us is, do we follow God's instructions? Because as it turns out, as we continue reading the story, that's a really critical part to knowing how to receive gifts from God, is being able to follow the instructions that he sets before us. So God had even more to give the Israelites. We're now down in verse 10. "When Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning, you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat.'" So quail in the evening, manna in the morning. And when the people saw the manna, they said to one another, "What is it?" Which is in Hebrew, manna. That's why they called it manna. We'll read that later as we go along. What is it? People didn't understand. And so Moses told them, "God gave you this. This is God's provision for you. This is bread from the Lord." There's another lesson here for us that would be easy for us to miss, and so I want to draw your attention to it, and that is, if you watch faithfully, you will witness God providing. If you watch faithfully, you will witness how God provides for you. Now, to be honest, it was easier for the Israelites than for us on this account. As Aaron is standing up speaking, he must have pointed, and off there in the distance was the cloud of God's presence, the glory of God there over them. At night, instead of a cloud, it turned into a pillar of fire. So at any moment of the night or day, the Israelites could look, and there was God, this glorious manifestation of His presence. And that's a great gift that we don't have today in that sense. We have the Holy Spirit, but you can't see the Spirit. Every morning they went outside, there was the manna, bread from God, miraculously provided. Every evening, flocks of quail would fly and land in the camp, easy pickings, food for the night. Daily evidence of God's blessing for His people. And we think, look how easy they had it. And so then you ask, well, what happened? How did the Israelites respond to this extraordinary day after day blessing from God? Well, they complained. Now we're thirsty. Now we're tired of manna. Now we want new leaders. Now we're afraid of God. Now what we really want is just to go back to Egypt where we were nice, happy slaves. Why do they complain? Well, because that's what we humans do. God gives you one thing and you want the other thing. God meets one need and you say, well, what about this other need? That's what we humans do. We need to fight the temptation to grumble. And instead, we need to learn to watch faithfully, to watch with eyes of faith, for God's hand as He provides for us. Because God does provide for us. It may not be in the form of bread that you find on the ground every morning. But if you watch with faith, you will see God providing. You will see, for instance, how your money stretches a little farther than you thought it would. Or you will see how you have enough strength to get through another day, even when sometimes you feel like you're not going to make it. Or you will see, if you watch with faith, how God sends friends and the church into your life at just the right moment when you need someone there to listen and to lend a hand. If you watch with faith, you will see the manna that God brings into your life. And I believe there is a multitude of examples that every one of us could give if we're willing and able and take the time to watch with faith for how God provides for us. So then God provided the Israelites with instructions on how they were to receive His gifts. And this is where the story gets somewhat interesting and maybe a little difficult for us. Verse 16. This is what the Lord has commanded, Moses says to them. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. An omer, by the way, was a weight measurement. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Each person was to gather a basketful, whatever you imagine that looked like to you. And however much they gathered, it was enough for them, which tells us a very important thing about God and His economy, His way of measuring things in our lives, and that is that God gives us neither too little nor too much. I believe that's a biblical truth, even though I imagine that all of you want to give evidence in your life that it's not true. God gives neither too little nor too much. God's daily provision for you is enough. It's just right. You may want more. Some of you might even think, I deserve less than what God has given me. Some of you certainly think that other person deserves less than what God has given them. But God asks you to trust the wisdom of what He's given you. In our lives, this doesn't always look fair, right? It doesn't. Some people seem to have more than others, whereas others feel like they don't have as much as they should get. Doesn't seem to be fair. But remember, God does not count like the world does. The world, of course, measures success by money and by things and by status in the eyes of the people of the world, whereas God looks at what is needed to serve His purposes. What do you need to serve God? God will give you neither too little nor too much. And if you trust God to provide, then He will give you what you need. It may look like it's less, or it may look like it's more than someone else receives from God, but that doesn't matter to God. He gives you what He knows is just right for you. And He gives everyone else just what He knows is right for them. But then comes temptation. Temptation always comes. Verse 19, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it till morning. You go out and you collect your basket full. God gives you just what you need. Don't keep any of it till morning, Moses says. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. You see, the manna rotted if they kept it overnight. And Moses says, you don't need to keep it overnight. That's not God's plan for you. It's not the instructions that He gave you. God will give you more tomorrow. It'll be okay. But you see, that takes faith, doesn't it? To hold what you have today, what God gives you to meet today's needs, and then to trust that God's going to meet your needs again tomorrow. Not to store it up. The temptation for us is to think, well, better be prepared for tomorrow. What if God doesn't give any tomorrow? What if God changes the plan and now I don't have any left? Here's a truth about God's economy that may be a little hard for us to swallow. When we stop trusting God, we will never have enough. When we stop trusting God, that's when what we have runs out. The temptation is real in our lives. This temptation to stop trusting in God and to trust in other things in God's place, to trust in your paycheck or your bank account or your retirement savings or whatever it is. I'll be okay because of what I have stored away for myself. As soon as you stop believing that what you have is a gift from God, as soon as you stop trusting in God to provide, then what you have will start to rot away. It will. As soon as you start believing that you own the things in your life, as soon as you grab hold of the stuff in your life with greed and with pride, as soon as you start loving things instead of loving God, you can be sure that those things that you are grabbing a hold of will be at risk. Because that's how God's economy works. It's not like the world. It may not be the advice that your banker gives you. Instead, we need to receive what God gives us with an open hand. We receive it with an open hand, grateful that God has given it, and we hold it with an open hand, knowing that it might be taken from us tomorrow. And if it is, God will provide something else in its place. But we hold it with an open hand and remember that the world and everything in it belongs to God. And He is able to provide for you tomorrow just like He provided for you today. God had another lesson to teach with the manna. Verse 21. Each morning everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground tomorrow. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." So on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. They didn't mean to the first time. And they were surprised when they discovered how much they had gathered. And Moses said, "No, it's okay. God intended for this. Because on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, there won't be any manna. Because God's going to teach you another lesson." Moses told them, "This is for your own good. It's so that you can rest on the Sabbath. It's so that day can be holy to God and so that you can be provided with the rest that you need. You won't need to go out and gather food." And the biblical lesson here for us is that God knows what we need better than we do. Which I think is one of the lessons that the Sabbath is meant to teach us. However you honor the Sabbath today, Sabbath rest is one way that God teaches us that He knows what we need, including rest, including time to get away from your normal routine and the busyness of your life. You see, for Israel, the Sabbath was another gift that God gave them. It was a day to rest, a day to be with family, a day to pray, a day to listen to God's voice, a day to worship, a day to set aside all the busyness of their lives, a day to receive God's blessing and to give thanks for all that God gave them throughout the week. The Sabbath was a gift that God gave His people. Because God knows what we need. He knows when you need strength to work. He knows when you need time of rest. He knows when you need food. He knows when you need comfort and encouragement. And God gives us what He knows that we need. And sometimes He knows what we need even better than we do. Now we need to finish the story and we want to discover one more lesson here about God's gifts. And just one more verse to read. Now down in verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. Again, what is it? That's the Hebrew word, manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. And it's that last word that we want to give some attention to. God made the manna taste good. It tasted like honey. And think about what that tells us and what it must have told the Israelites about God. All the people needed was sustenance to fill their stomachs. Here they are, refugees fleeing from the Egyptians out into the wilderness. All they're trying to do is survive. But God loved His people enough to make the manna sweet, to make their food taste good. God gives us what we need. But added to that, God gives us good gifts. He gives us good things. God loves us like a good parent. He gives you what you need day after day, and beyond that, He blesses you with good things. And that's okay. And it's okay for us to receive good things from God and to feel blessed by Him. It's okay even to pray for God's blessing, knowing that we don't deserve it, but knowing also that God is a good and loving God. You see, He wanted His people to reach the promised land, and by their own stubbornness and grumbling and fear, it took 40 years, but they did eventually reach the promised land. In the same way, God wants you to fulfill your purpose in life. He wants our church to fulfill our mission. And so along the way, God walks with us. And He leads us, and He protects us, and He provides for us. And if you're willing to accept what He gives, God provides what we need. Every step along the way, even good gifts given to us by our good God. So let's give thanks for God's gifts in our lives. Let me invite you to bow your heads. We'll pray. Father, we thank You for the ways that You watch over us and protect us. Lord, we thank You for the ways You see our needs and meet those needs. As the Israelites learn day after day, You never run out of blessings. You never run out of good things to give us. And so help us, Lord, to trust in You. Help us to receive what You give with an open hand, grateful for what You've given today, but trusting that You'll provide again tomorrow as well. Lord, we thank You for the ways You love us. And I pray for Your blessing, Your provision, Your protection over each one of us today. Lord, may we see Your hand providing. And teach us, Lord, to trust in You so that what You give us will always be enough. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.